WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Had I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. We're on the road to the Elimination Chamber, which is live this Saturday on the ESPN Unlimited plan and the Netflix internationally. Talk more about the ESPN Unlimited plan here in a second. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsworth, on the WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live here tonight, because we got stuffs to get into this evening.
We do. So I say we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And, well, starting off with WWE, because honestly, it's a light news week.
It is.
It's a very light news week.
It is. We kept it light for, you know, because we got PLE to talk about. But it's a quiet week. But there is some stuff that we need to talk about. And this first thing is actually something to get into.
It is, because NXT Stand and Deliver will take place on April 4th from the Factory in St. Louis.
Tickets go on sale, I believe, on the 2nd or 3rd, something close to that. Or, yeah, maybe the 2nd or 3rd, or the 12th or 13th. One of those two. Go to www.com for more ticket information. The interesting thing about this, though, it's off of WrestleMania weekend.
That is interesting, isn't it? I mean, they only have room for so much.
And that's the thing. It's not a thing where every year it's going to be off of WrestleMania weekend. But for this year, it is. And I would assume next year, too.
Considering the fact they will be out of the country next year, it is entirely plausible that is the case. Unless they can fit it in during the week.
Unless
that
they do,
would be the only thing unless they do, I could consider.
Unless they do stand and deliver from the... Think about it. You could do it from the state after, like, if Mania's over, Mania starts at 2, ends by 7, you could then theoretically do stand and deliver here from the states at 8.
Good.
On that Saturday. In theory, you could, depending on when WrestleMania starts. Which this year, was the year's WrestleMania, everyone's making a big deal of it, about it already. Because it was originally scheduled for 4 p.m. local, which is 7 Eastern. Did like the door, like, you know, start time. Now it says on this for the tickets 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, which is 5:30 p.m. Eastern, which means the show will probably start at 6, which is usually the case with WrestleMania. It starts the hour earlier, so I assume it starts at 6 again, like I think it did last year. I could be wrong.
I believe so, yeah.
Or it has in the past that it started early. Around 6 Eastern, so I would assume that. But no, so they've taken off it because with it being on the West Coast, it's kind of hard to fit it in, like, time-wise, because now you're getting people up and trying to sell tickets for a 10 a.m. show, because it would air 1 Eastern, 10 on the West Coast, and that's kind of rough, especially on the production crew who's coming off of doing the Hall of Fame the previous night.
Yeah.
Now you can use the assets of the production crew to focus on that and then go and focus on WrestleMania, and they don't have to focus on the NXT show. Does it suck that the NXT talent aren't going to be featured WrestleMania weekend? Yes. As a person who watches all the content, am I happy it's up 2 weeks earlier? Sure am. Does that mean we get to cover it finally back on this show? Sure does.
Yep. Because that's content.
We're going to need content. So we will be previewing and reviewing NXT Stand and Deliver on the road to WrestleMania. I think it's in our calendar already. So we're going to be doing that. So more content for us. So that's a good thing. And again, there's a lot of content out there. And it's good that you can have a little bit of break between WrestleManias or before WrestleMania starts, and you want to catch up on the Hall of Fame, because since it's West Coast, it'll probably be another late night Hall of Fame.
So
it's going to be one of those, like, you got to fit time in, so having the window where it's not. And because WWE's pre-show, which will be the first one on ESPN, will probably start mid-afternoon. Probably, like, if the show starts at 6, it's probably a 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern start time for the pre-show. I would expect it to be like an hour on ESPN itself, and everything then moves to the ESPN Unlimited at 4. So I would, because I don't expect them to run the pre-show all the way up. But who knows? Hell, ESPN could run it. They could run an hour. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide, hey, let's run the first hour of WrestleMania live on ESPN. I don't think it will happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. Or they run a pre-show match on ESPN to be like, hey, you want to see more? Go to ESPN Unlimited, which you can do by linking your cable provider, which you can now do with Xfinity.
Yay! Let's go.
Finally.
I mean, I know they had to work that out, but I feel like they could have had that worked out from the get-go before all of this happened. Like, I understand there were circumstances, and we've talked about this plenty of times before. However, stuff like that, just from a product launch perspective, really needs to be ironed out before it ever goes live. Like, so that's my whole thing with it.
There were a couple hurdles with it. There was a contract hurdle where they were renegotiating deals and stuff, and that got put through. And then there was the technical side that they had to do, because if you haven't figured out, Xfinity has a lot of people.
Yes.
And will everyone on Xfinity use this? No, but you can't be like, hey, we're only expecting 1 million people to use it. Well, we have 10 million subscribers. I don't know. This is base numbers. I don't know if these are actual numbers, but just think about it. So you have to make sure all 10 million can use it.
I was going to say, we don't want the situation where what Netflix did, the fight, and it crashed, and right, it was having all those problems with the live TV because, like, they could not handle the amount of people watching. So it's they don't want one of those where the system goes down, where people are trying to watch WrestleMania, because WrestleMania is one of those marquee events that it will bring in people and it will stress test the system.
Which is why it's good for it to be available this weekend for Elimination Chamber. Sucks it wasn't for the Royal Rumble, but things you can't do. And I don't think they were prepared for it. Like, hey, they were fully ready to announce it. Or maybe they were, and the timing doesn't hit. But they've been running ads for the last week on ESPN with CM Punk, where they've been showing the graphic of all the providers available to log in, and Xfinity wasn't one of them. So it's like, oh, you just spent marketing money on promoting something without having the major one on there, and now you have it. So, oops. Which is a good thing. The way they did it was like he never actually named them, so you could just probably throw, for the next couple of days, throw the Xfinity logo on there.
Yeah, you can probably just, yeah, the way you do that is like, we're going to launch the campaign. We don't have the deal worked out yet. We'll just swap the logo in and swap the creative when it's time. And you don't have him like say any names. And that's how you get around that.
Your cable provider could already give you free access. And then you just throw the logo on there. Like, it was hard.
That's how we have no idea who's going to be in it.
Yeah. So like, it was kind of, and maybe it's easier now because I did it early in the morning to try to find it. But once you find it, it's easy. Because one thing, their website says one thing, then Xfinity's website says another. It's like, you got to make sure you figure out the right way to do it. But once you're there, all I had to do was hit activate and then sign it. It was an easy process.
And then I can get rid of my other account. Yay!
Yeah.
So, I can offload that cost. Yay!
Exactly.
Because that was my whole issue with it, was like, because that thing ain't cheap, man. It's 30 bucks. No, granted, it's bundled with Disney Plus, but if you don't watch like Disney Plus, or when Hulu is around you watch Hulu, it's 30 bucks that you're paying for ESPN, and it's like, I'm really only watching WWE. Now, when football was on there, I was watching it a little bit, but like, I'm just watching it purely for WWE. So it was like, I was kind of pissed, because it was like, I had Peacock for free. I don't have to pay anything. And I know this is a first world problem. Okay, I understand this. But like, I didn't have to pay anything except my cable bill for WWE pay-per-views. And now I have to pay 30 bucks for like this app that I don't even really want, but I have to pay for it because we do this show and we talk about the PLEs on the show. So it's like, crap. I didn't vote for this.
This is where I went with free trials of FUBU TV to get around paying for it, because the free access of FUBU TV gave you a trial of ESPN Unlimited. So life hacks, save costs.
Life hacks.
Yes.
But yes, I will be going to activate that. But yay for them getting it activated. Yay for them, like, you know, finally doing things. Yay. So we'll see how the app runs with Xfinity or with any other cable provider at WrestleMania or at Chamber this weekend. And hopefully they can get it fixed. I may keep the app just in case.
No,
like the separate app just in case.
No, I would install it. It's the same app. It's just you link it to this account, and that's all it really is. It's the same app. It's everything. You're not changing apps. You're still using the ESPN app. Just linking account. The technical side was making sure everyone could activate it. Once you activate it, you're good.
Yeah. So go do the thing, y'all. Go do the thing.
Yes.
Up next, we have 2K26 news. I'm going to do the bottom one first, and then we can talk about the top one. Right. So the first ringside pass has been announced for the game.
It has been announced for the game. The it's basically going to be the, let's call it the AAA pack. Because you have El Hijo del Vikingo, Flamer, Mr. Iguana, and the Psycho Clown as your four DLC characters for it. And those four will be available on the premium track of the Ringside Pass. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Which is the Battle Pass. So for those wondering, how do you earn, XP for it? You play the game. I believe it's like 800 XP per, or 100 XP per game. It's like 100 XP per match, at least, and it's 800 XP per level, something like that. We'll know more in the coming weeks of the exact amount. But you'll be able to earn them in the premium tier. The legends that you're used to seeing in the video game will always be available on the free tier. of the past. So you're going to get Shawn Michaels, Tyler Breeze, and Eddie Guerrero from 97, Andre the Giant, Alundra Blaze, China, Bret Hart, Jim Neville, Nighthawk, Warrior, Rude, Honky Tonk Man, the Headbangers, Booker T, Kurt Angle, Undertaker from 03, the British Bulldog, Bray Wyatt, Piper, Ooh. Sheik, Perfect, Terry Funk, Kane from 08, Superstar Billy Graham, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Diesel, Razor Ramon, Hurricane Vader, Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth, Farouk, Undertaker, Paul Bearer, Mankind, Do Love, hey, still in the game.
Let's go.
Nash, Hall, Six, Luger, DDP, Muda, Shawn from 94, Sensational Sherry, Hogan from 02, Stephanie McMahon, Hunter from 08, Shawn from 05, The Rock from 01, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, and the 40th tier in the free side will be The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
Ah.
You also get SmackDown, get arenas like the SmackDown Arena from 2002, a bunch of the title belts that you would have to unlock as you play the ECW One Night Stand Arena, the SummerSlam Arena from 88. I believe there's a AAA Arena is in the premium side as well, so all out of it. Want AAA stuff, you get the premium stuff, but you'll get a lot of everything you normally unlock through playing the game will be unlocked in the free tier. So just play the game. People are worried about playing the game. Just play the game.
Just enjoy the game. You'll get the stuff.
You'll get the stuff. Yes, you don't get them right away. Yes, you have to grind a little bit, but it's called, they want people to play the game, and honestly, that's the way to do it, and it's giving you an incentive to play because it works on all the modes. And if you don't unlock everything right away with the ringside pass, you just do the free tier, and then you'll want the premium tier later. Your XP already, you've already played through it. So if you play it out and get all 40 levels or whatever, and then you decide to buy the pass, everything's unlocked. You don't have to re-XP to get it. So that's good.
That is
so
good.
You can play it in... You want to play through Showcase, you're going to XP through that. You play My Rise, you'll learn through XP through that. GM mode, all the things. All the modes have it. So it's scary at first, but once you start playing the game, you realize I'm just earning XP by playing the game like any normal game like Fortnite where you earn XP just by just walking. You'll be fine.
Plus, you have a long time on the battle pass too, right?
There's six different ringside passes throughout the season. The first one is available on launch on March 6th. The next one will be in April, right before WrestleMania. June, July, September, and then October are your six passes. And you, again... You can play them, pick them up whenever you want, and then your XP just counts towards it once those passes have started. That's it.
So there you go. And tying into that, the superstars that you will get in the battle pass tie into the 400 plus superstars that will be in the game. This is one of the largest rosters, if not the largest roster, the game has ever had. And pretty much everybody and their brother will be in this game. Am I going to read all 400 plus names? Absolutely not. We do not have time for that. However, we are going to talk about some of the more notable names that are going to be in the game. But if you would like to see the full roster, it is up and available on 2K26's site. You can go check it out. They have it in alphabetical order. It's listed for full list and then non-combatants if you would like to take a look. But just some of the more notable names that are going to be in the game. We, of course, have our cover boys, CM Punk and Triple H. They will be in the game. Joining them will be Steve Austin, The Rock, Undertaker, Kane, Shawn Michaels, Trish Stratus, Lita, China. I think these are all the legends. Bubba Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, Kurt Angle, Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan. Wow, is that his model?
Yeah, if it's on the website. For which one are you? Hogan?
Yeah, the Hollywood Hogan.
Oh, that looked good.
No, it doesn't.
What do you mean it doesn't? It's a bad angle, but the model actually looks good because it's the same one from last year. In-game, it looks good.
Okay, I'll believe you. Eric Bischoff, Goldberg, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Booker T are just some of the legends that will be available. Of course, you heard Boo Boo's going to be in it. Yay, Boo Boo. But joining Boo Boo will be the likes of Alexa, of course. We'll have Charlotte, Gunther.
So you want some notable names? You want some notable names that may not, like, typical be in there?
Sure.
Last year was Abyss. He's back in the game as a bass player. This Scrap Eye and Adam Pearce is a playable character this year.
Oh, look at him. Nigel, I'm so proud.
Nigel McGuinness, playable character this year.
Ooh.
Aleister Black is back in the video game officially. I think he was in DLC last year, but he is officially back. Rusev is back in the game, making their debut as Blake Monroe. We're going to have Bull Nakano back in the game. Let's see. Murders and Machine Guns are base game this year. The Dudley Boys, as you mentioned. We have the Demon Finn Balor. You have both El Grande Americanos in the game. Ave Torres returns to the game. Farouk returns to the game before the Attitude Era. Julia's in it. Goldberg's in it. Izzy Dame is making the game this year. JC Jane's back. Jada Parker. Jasmine Nix is making the game. JC Mateo making his debut. A lot of the MFTs are making their first time in the game as well because they came in afterwards last year, so they'll be up to date for this year's game. Tommaso made it because he passed the cut. Joe Hendry, yes, we said his name. He will appear at some point as he is the DLC, the pre-order character for the video game. Jordynne Grace makes the game as a normal character because she was DLC last year. Carmen Petrovic is in the game. Wilson, Count James, Mankind, Dude Love, and Cactus Jack are in there. New Jack is base game this year. He was DLC last year. Miles Bourne makes his first appearance in the video game. Molly Holly continues to return to the game. Michelle McCool does. Pat McAfee continues to make the video game despite some people not wanting him in the video game. RVD returns. Rusev is returning to the video game. Sol Ruka, Stephanie McMahon, we mentioned before, will be an interesting playable character because they're using her Attitude Era model this year for outfit wise for one version, with this, which is the white t-shirt and shorts that she wore. Where it's like, hey, I'm not a wrestler, but here's me in gear. So that's cool. Let's see. Going through the list one more time. We mentioned all the Tongas. Hank and Tank are in the game for the first time. Terry Funk continues to make the video game. Tyler Breeze is still in the video game. Victoria's in the game. Uncle Howdy. Tavian Heights makes the game for the first time. So there'll be a lot of guys making their first appearance as well in the video game. Wade Barrett has two playable characters. Zarya's in the game. She makes it this time around. Yeah, so it's going to be a large roster. And all the names on the 2K website are not everyone in the video game.
No,
why?
Not.
Because there's still DLC to come.
They have to keep some surprises, guys. Like, they do have to keep some things from us. So,
and a lot of them are going to get, like, Undertaker 08 or whatever. Like, multiple people, like, people in the game are going to have multiple characters, which creates in the 400 thing, but there'll be a lot of people. So if your favorite's not in there, they're just not in there because they're just not in there. It's not, no one else is taking their spot.
Right.
They just didn't make it. I saw a post from Kelly. Maybe next year we'll get in the video game. Well, if you sign a Legends contract, maybe you will get in the video game.
You too will be in the game.
With that, we should take a break.
We should. So when we come back, we are going to be previewing Elimination Chamber. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Can you see into my eyes like open doors?
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
every Monday night. Once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
WWE superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
I got money, I was in the track kicking dogs, and I'm just being honest. If you want smart, then we cook niggas up like an omelet. I'm just being honest. Throw me a 60 if I go to Magic or Honest. I'm just being honest. I keep a stick or a blicky in case it gets sticky. I'm just being honest. In case you know that I'm with it, I'm having this chick and this trick, and I'm just being honest. I'm with that. Who really getting it? Be honest. Hey, pop to be giving, be honest. She real like a pan, I got rats in the back.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we're back to talk all about Elimination Chamber,
which is live this Saturday from Chicago, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Check your local time and availability in your area for when it airs on the ESPN Unlimited app here in the States or internationally on the Netflix.
Ding. There's so your cheap plug, so go get it.
So where do you want to begin?
Well, we have a whopping 4 matches on this card.
I mean, like normal, it's 4 to 5 matches per card normally.
But I know, it's just, where do we want to start? There's 4 matches.
Matches. They're all stacked. We have 4 matches and a mystery crate. So, you know, apparently it could be very evil, the mystery crate.
I hope they drilled holes in it so he can, like, at least get air.
If anyone could survive it, it is him.
I know that, but that just seems cruel to do that to him. I mean, he's been kept in the dark for so long. He should have a little light, right?
Maybe.
Say we save the chamber matches for last. Let's start off with a banger. Let's talk about Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee. This is AJ's first singles match in 10 years. They built this up lovely. And yeah, we have Becky or AJ challenging Becky for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. There is no stip on this. There's no nothing. Question is where do they go? What do they do?
Well, we know this is not the end of whatever this is. We know this is the setup to Mania, because it would make no sense to kind of end it here and then
create a new program for both women for 6 weeks heading to WrestleMania. Have Stranger Things happen before? Yes. Have they done it before? Yes.
Yeah.
But you would have to believe we're headed to WrestleMania with some sort of stipulation coming out of this, which kind of makes you wonder what kind of finish do they pull off? Talked a bunch on Sunday, they could do different things. Could end in disqualification on either side. But can you really get away with one in Chicago where, like, Becky gets disqualified, AJ wins, but then gets left laying in Chicago where they're trying to put her over? That's tough to see. Do you see people interfering? Because we kind of were spinning that. I kind of held off on a couple name and a name that you could have interfere in this one to set up something for the road to WrestleMania, and it combines the program we've been seeing on television. You could have Natty get involved because she has had a confrontation with AJ, so you could kind of storyline it where Natty comes out, interferes, could either help Becky or cost Becky via disqualification, and kind of setting up something there because they've teased Becky and Natty as well. Or you have Natty side with Becky to take out AJ Lee. Maxine makes a save, and there's your setup for a tag match on the road to WrestleMania for a big Raw on the road too, which you could do. There's a lot of ways they could go. You could say that about a couple of these matches on the show. There are many possibilities. What is your thoughts for this one?
I don't honestly want to count out AJ losing or AJ winning clean. And the reason why I don't want to do that is because it is the road to WrestleMania, and it can be at times highly predictable. Do I see AJ winning the title here in Chicago? They could do it. They could have a nice moment, but the program is effectively dead because AJ has one-upped Becky every time they face. Now, granted, those were in multi-person matches, so it was a little bit easier for her to do. This is singles, and I'm not saying that AJ is incapable, because she certainly is capable of, like, one-upping Becky. But I think for Becky's character, I think she kind of has to get a win over AJ simply because it fuels the character, right? Like, it will drive the character forward where she has something to chomp on going into WrestleMania, and it pushes AJ to go after Becky, right? Because the biggest problem is if AJ wins, it's why do they have to fight again? What are they going to fight over other than Becky wants her title back? Well, there's no rematch clause, right? Like, that's the big thing. There's no rematch clause. So Becky can't just be like, I want my rematch and I want it at WrestleMania. AJ can just be like, eh, F off. Now.
Unless AJ wins, Becky's demanding her rematch, has to put something up on her end against AJ to get said match. Could be a career, could be hair, could be anything. But that is a logical way to get back to that. If AJ were to take the title,
it is a logical way to get back to it. I just don't know if I want to see it.
But I'll point it out like this: it works for the Becky character as it is to go unhinged and put something crazy on the line to get back her title.
Again, I don't know if I want to see it.
I'm not saying it's the right move. I'm saying it is a move.
No, I hear that. It is for sure a move. I just don't know if I want to see it, right? Like, for me, Becky doing something crazy against AJ, it's like, yeah, all right, that'll be fun. That'll be cool. But in the end, I'm not sure what that achieves, right? So, and that's another conversation for WrestleMania, right? Or down the line after Elimination Chamber. We're talking about Elimination Chamber. I'm getting the sense that Becky has to get the win over AJ. I don't know if it's clean or not, but I think Becky has to get the win here. Because if you don't, the feud's dead, right?
No.
And I think it will give Becky a good level of heat coming out of Elimination Chamber, heading into WrestleMania, because she can own it. She can be absolutely obnoxious with it. And plus, in Chicago, like, they will boo the shit out of her in Chicago.
I feel like it's more dead, especially clean. The feud's dead if she went clean, because AJ has nothing to... AJ has no bargaining chip. She loses in her hometown. She's lost title clean. Only way Becky wins has to be with an interference from somebody, because then you can make the claim why she should get a rematch. If Becky wins clean,
that's fair.
If Becky wins clean, there is no Mania match. There's nothing, because there's no reason, oh yeah, just get another rematch. No, maybe AJ lost. Becky would have every right to move on to somebody else. I think AJ needs this match to win. Doesn't need to win the title, but she needs to win more than Becky. Because another loss of any kind will set Becky off over the edge. And she's already on the breaking point. And that's just not me saying it. Sports Illustrated is saying it. The Bleacher Report is saying it. She's losing her damn mind.
Well, I mean, given who she's emulating, that makes sense. You know, it is what it is. I don't know. I get a hunch it's going to be Becky. I'm going Becky.
I'm going to go AJ Lee. I'm not sure how or if it'll be DQ or not, but I'm going AJ Lee. What about the 8-ball? What does the 8-ball say?
The 8-ball says AJ. Very doubtful.
The wheel says
Wrestler 1.
Which would be the champion.
Okay. All right. Well, the other match is, you know, the other half of the Dream Team couple. We have CM Punk taking on Finn Balor in a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And they're doing the Sami Zayn 2.0 with this.
No, I wouldn't call this Sami Zayn 2.0.
It's not quite that, but it's how much runway does Finn have left?
For the world title, I would say a decent chunk because you've not fully put all the eggs in the basket, but I don't see his long term being fighting for the world title. Coming out of this, he's most likely fighting for the Intercontinental Championship because Dirty Dom is going to screw Finn Balor on Saturday night.
You think so?
Oh, I believe so. I believe this is the way to set up what Finn's doing at WrestleMania. This will be setting up what Dom is doing at WrestleMania. Whether it's on purpose or not, Dom will screw Finn Balor or cost him or whatever. And if you want to wait 2 weeks before the Judgment Day fully turns on Finn Balor, you wait a week or two. But Dom costs Finn this match. Yes, Penta gets the shot Monday. You still have 6 weeks to get to WrestleMania. Penta's match is Monday. So that doesn't matter. And even then, maybe Finn and Dom is not for the Intercontinental title and Penta gets the title because Finn retaliates and screws Dom. So Finn and Dom could have their match at WrestleMania and make it more interesting. Put JD as the ref at WrestleMania.
You can do that.
And see which side he chooses, whether it be for the Intercontinental title or not for the Intercontinental title. Depends on what they want to do. Finn Dom doesn't actually need the belt, but if they have the belt and fight to it, you could do that too. But Penta's match is for the title on Monday. So that really doesn't play a factor in Dom costing Finn and setting up Finn versus Dom one way or the other. Because we all know CM Punk's winning this. There's no body thinking, oh, Finn's going to win. Could they swap the belt and then swap it back? Yes.
Yeah. Do we want that? No.
No. At this stage of the game, for what they're trying to set up and they're trying to sell the tickets, you've already set your main. This match is to build the undercard with Dom and Finn and whatever. If that's the direction they go. They might not. And Finn may just lose clean. But if you're setting the stage, you have Dom interfere. You set up WrestleMania of a Finn-Dom match because that would be the best match for them. Gets them both on the show. And Finn's already going babyface with the Balor Club music back and stuff like that. I mean, it makes the perfect sense to me. At least to me. What about you?
What about me? Well, I'm going to go ahead and agree that Finn is not getting the title, number one. Do I think it will hurt him a little bit if he does not get the title? Yes, because they are. But the good thing about that is there is one positive, and that is that he is in a rebuilding phase and he's not quite done. He's still cooking a little bit. So they have like a little bit of leeway on him to put him in a title situation. You have him lose against Punk. It's not clean, whether it's the Judgment Day, whether it's somebody else, we don't know, but it's not a clean victory for Punk. And that doesn't reflect badly on Punk. It more reflects badly on Finn Balor. And then Finn Balor can do whatever he's going to do at WrestleMania. And then bringing him out of WrestleMania, that's when you really hit the gas on rebuilding him and bringing him into the title scene, whether that's main event, whether that's IC, whether you move him over to SmackDown, you have him go for US. It doesn't really matter. But I think Finn Balor's rebuilding year is really going to be in the post-WrestleMania scope. And what this time period is the catalyst to get him out of Judgment Day, get him away from Judgment Day and have them do their own thing, basically. And you have Liv and you have Dom and you have JD, presumably, and Raquel. You figure out what to do with them, whether you keep the group as it is and Liv takes over as leader or somebody else takes over as leader, but you extract Finn out of that situation and you put him on his own.
I'll add for the WrestleMania pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Dom has to fight his inner demons at WrestleMania.
I mean, there is a Fortnite collab inbound. I'm just saying.
You could,
and the demon, I believe, will be a part of it.
If it happens.
So if you're going to do it, now's the time.
You want the demon, that's how you bring back the demon for WrestleMania. And it would have a storyline tied to it. Anyway, I'm going Punk.
Yeah, I'm going Punk.
What about the 8-Ball?
8-Ball. Punk. All signs point to yes.
Wrestler 1.
Congrats, Finn. Everyone picked you. CM Punk. So.
Oh, no.
Congrats, Finn.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Women's Elimination Chamber. We have a interesting field this year vying for Jade Cargill's title. We have Tiffany Stratton taking on Rhea Ripley, taking on Alexa Bliss, taking on Asuka, taking on Kiana James, taking on Raquel Rodriguez. I'm just going to say this up front. As much, and I'm going to agree with what they said on Sunday, as much as I love Rhea, as over as Rhea is and as good as the build would be for Rhea versus Jade, I don't want Rhea versus Jade. I don't want it. And it's just because I think Rhea is hitting a little bit of oversaturation and she doesn't need to have all the things. Even though I would love for her to have all the things, she doesn't need to have all the things right now. And she's in the middle of a tag program. It doesn't make sense to move her to SmackDown. I don't want her to go to SmackDown because then I will never see her again. Because until they take SmackDown off of goddamn Friday nights, I will never see her again. So I don't want it to be Rhea.
So it makes no sense to take it off Rhea because you're building to it. You've invested her road to WrestleMania in the tag division. You've spent a lot of time rebuilding the tag. So it kind of makes it hard to kind of break her away from it and kind of be like, hey, so what are we going to do? Like, well, we're just going to take her and take them out of the thing. And like, no, you don't need to do that. You can keep that direction go. Kiana James entering it was an interesting choice, and I kind of teased Sunday you could use this as a way to get someone else into the match if you had planned on it, like a Bianca Belair, but I don't think Bianca Belair is factored into any plans. I could see Bianca Belair returning at WrestleMania or a surprise right after the SmackDown or Raw after WrestleMania as a post WrestleMania surprise. But if you leave this match as is, Asuka's busy doing things with Kairi, and mm-hmm. I don't think Asuka Jade does not sell tickets, right?
No.
Because Asuka can't promo.
No.
And Jade is best when she has someone to promo off. She needs someone to bounce off of. And while Asuka Jade could be good, it's not for WrestleMania. Rhea, busy with Io in the tag. The interesting thing with Tiffany Stratton, if she wins, you know she was the backup idea for Bianca. Because I believe all signs point to Bianca was coming back, or they had hoped she would be back in time for Mania, which she was not.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to see Tiffany and Jade again. We've run that back enough. We've kind of exhausted what could come out from. Yes, I know this time it would be Tiffany chasing, but you've exhausted all the options. Kiana's not winning, honestly. And I've been thinking about this since Sunday, because one name they didn't really spend a lot of time on who would win. Alexa.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
So, Charlotte did not qualify for this.
Nope.
Alexa did. In the Royal Rumble, Charlotte was basically saying, you know, we're going to make sure that, you know, we're going to try to get you back and, you know, work, you know, we support each other, yada, yada. What if Alexa gets this title match? One, that takes Alexa and Charlotte out of the title picture for the tag title, because Alexa's focus is now on Jade and the women's WWE Championship. How much would that eat away at Charlotte, knowing Alexa gets a shot over her, and Charlotte WrestleMania doesn't exist at all? That would eat away at the character of Charlotte Flair, who's basically been, we're besties now. We're all the things. She gave her, we're Galentine, did all the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte will really have to suck it up to watch Alexa fight in the match she would believe she should be in. That's good TV, because that could either allow Jade to retain at WrestleMania because Charlotte couldn't handle it and cost her bestie and turned Charlotte heel, or she helps her bestie win and they're all good and she fight. Like, she overcomes the ego of Charlotte Flair and is actually truthful with what she's saying. I think that makes for interesting television. That's why I believe Alexa wins this match, because there's not another match on this show or match person in this match that would make me go, huh, that's a WrestleMania match. I think Raquel and Jade would be very clunky with each other in a singles match.
Yeah, I don't, for Jade's first Mania really as champion, as the main champion, I don't think Raquel is the one. No offense to Raquel, but that to me is not a marquee match for Mania. That's like a regular PLE match, or that's even just like a Raw or SmackDown match, but that's not, I hear Raquel and Jade, and that does unfortunately nothing for me.
Because they're both heel.
And that's,
they're both heel.
Because they're both heel, but
There's no story there. They don't have a connection.
Yeah. And it's also, they're building Raquel right now. Like, Raquel's another one that they're trying to, I think, extract her out of the Judgment Day, and they're trying to build her into something. And they have been pushing her, and they have been trying to, like, basically redeem her. Because I feel like the Judgment Day is sort of the group everybody went to coast, because they just didn't know what to do with them. So we're like, we're all going to throw you in one group, and we're just going to see if this works. And it did. And everybody just kind of coasted on it a while. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But now they're trying to take people out, and they're trying to build people up. And in terms of Raquel, I think there's potential there, but she's at least, to me, a year away, because there's nothing exciting about that. Like, Jade has all the presentation, and it's great. And Raquel has a pretty decent presentation, but as far as I know, Raquel in a Jade promo battle really does nothing for me.
It doesn't hit, because Raquel's strength is picking on the smaller talent. She's,
yes,
that's what she does. Raquel Alexa would be a really good match because of the size battle.
Yeah.
But that's not the situation you're in. That's why Jade Alexa could work, because Jade can muscle around Alexa.
I think for me personally, the Alexa match works just because since she's come back, she's sort of been on the back burner a little bit. They haven't done a lot with her. They've put her in the program with Charlotte. She's been in the program with Charlotte. They've been doing really, really well with it. But Alexis sort of has been in the backseat for other people on her return. And she is a tremendously talented individual. She can carry a WrestleMania match. We all know she can. She will shine in that match. She will help carry Jay, because she can do the promo battles. She can do everything else. And I think she would be a really solid person for Jay to work with, because I don't think Jade's ever worked her. Or if she has, it's been very sparingly.
Yeah, nothing significant if they've had encounters other than maybe tag situation. But I don't even think they have.
And the thing is, with Alexa and Jade, is you can match athleticism with athleticism. Much on the same level that you could Tiffany Stratton, but it's on a different type of level. It's new, it's unique, it's different, it's interesting to me. Because you do have the Charlotte factor in there, but it's also just to see Alexa shine one more time, right? Because she kind of came out of the Fiend stuff and everything else, and she had a little bit of a run, and then she kind of went away. She got pregnant. And so, like, she's been gone out of the title picture. It's sort of moved on without her, and now she's coming back into it. So I would love to see them give her one more run, essentially. We've already talked about Asuka. Asuka would be a fine choice for a wrestling match, but it doesn't do anything for me for Mania. Tiffany and Jade, you could run that back, but it's not anything that it's like, ooh, I have to see that again. Like, honestly, I'm going to be with you. I think Alexa's the right choice.
Unless they want the marquee of Rhea and Jade, then you're kind of throwing everything out through the tag division. I think Rhea and Io is best suited for the tag, a big tag match with the Bellas. And Raquel and Roxanne, and maybe the Kabuki Warriors, whatever it is, like, they're suited for that right now. That, because that adds another you're taking your marquee talent and putting them in another marquee match. Putting her in this one, you're kind of like, okay, well, now you've kind of killed all the stories that you've been building for 6 months or more.
I don't disagree with that. I think you're going to have to sacrifice the tag division a little bit, just because you need to extract somebody out of it. I don't know who.
Well, no, you need
to take somebody out of it.
You're taking Charlotte and Alexa out of it, but you're not taking the champs. But
no,
taking them off of, putting them on Nia and Lash, that just seems like a step down heading in the Mania. Could Nia and, I would put Nia and Lash over, maybe put them over at WrestleMania, put them in the six-way tag thing and go from there. I don't know.
If they take the belts off of them, then Rhea's probably going to win this match.
But as I tell you, I'm going Alexa.
Just to kind of like devil's advocate that a little bit, if they did Jade and Rhea, it would not be the end of the world, especially if Jade beats Rhea. That would be a massive feather in Jade's cap. It would help elevate her further as a dominant champion. It would move her onto a different level in terms of everything if she puts Rhea down. So it would do good things for Jade if she beats Rhea, but it wouldn't do good things the other way around, because then it's like, oh yay, Rhea won and now she's on SmackDown. Crap. At least that's me personally. But like, it's, oh yay, Rhea won another title. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, or at the top of the discussion, she's kind of hitting that oversaturation point in terms of things she can do. It's very much a la Charlotte, right? Where they're putting everything on Rhea, as they should. She's over as fuck. She's a face of the company. So they're going to push the shit out of her no matter what. But like, she's sort of hitting that oversaturation. And it's, okay, it's not as exciting anymore. It's just getting a little predictable on her. So it's like, let her stand aside and give somebody else a chance, which is why Alexa makes sense. They might be desperate to have Rhea versus Jade to sell tickets for Mania. I'm going to be really honest with you. I think having Rhea and Io in the tag match are going to sell more tickets.
Going to be honest with you, Rhea and Jade's not moving tickets for Mania.
Yeah.
And that's not against either one.
No, it's not. It's not a slight at all.
It has the only thing that's going to move tickets is announcing the card and slashing the prices.
I would say it's more slashing the prices at this stage than it is announcing the card, because that's slashing the prices on everything, because it's not just to have that discussion, and we've sort of talked about it before. Mania is not economical. It doesn't make sense for anybody to go. When your cheapest seats are $200 for one night and you have to go to Vegas to do it, which that's not cheap to find a hotel. You can find a cheap hotel in Vegas, but for that weekend, it will probably be difficult, especially the closer to the event that we get. To just do Mania all up, all in, you're probably looking at over $1,000, and that's on the cheap end.
Doing Mania again. That's the key.
Again.
It's doing,
or the first time if you didn't go the first time, but to do Mania either the first time or again, it's, even to try to do it cheap, you're looking at over $1,000 once you stack in hotels, meals, flights,
gambling,
and ticket. Well, I'm excluding gambling because nobody gambles, but entertainment, let's say entertainment, that's not wrestling. It's going to be incredibly expensive, because the tickets by themselves, once you get the Ticketmaster fees, everything else loaded into those bad boys, that's going to be what?
You're $2,000 at least.
Yeah.
So, and another note on all the money thing, that said, everything we were saying about slashing prices and all these things, WWE made $1.7 billion for the year. $1.7 billion, up from $1.39 billion last year. So they're doing something right. It's all, after all our complaints,
I think a lot of that has to do with like brand deals as well as ticket costs. But we talked about this last year, interestingly enough, when the ticket prices kind of started going up, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that they are trying to offload debt from the TKO merger. And so they're trying to, the way that they're doing that is they're raising prices on WWE shows. I believe they're doing the same thing for UFC, where that's where they're trying to extract the money from. But at this point in this economy, with everything that's going on, it's simply not economical. It just doesn't make sense, and it's not worth it. Like, Raw was here in Atlanta. It was a fun show. It was a good show. It's not worth me paying over $100 to go to it.
But here, we say all this, everyone's still buying tickets. So it are there less? Yes. People are still buying.
But I feel like the test is WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it's because it depends on what you buy for, right? Like, if you buy for one of the premium events, they're going to be more expensive. But for the regular TV shows, people are still buying them because you can't pick up a deal. But Mania is the test. And the fact that they are struggling to sell Mania this close to the show, this is a problem for them.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go on a full-on marketing push, and they're going to keep finding ways to, hey, buy a 2-for-1 or a 4-for-1 or whatever kind of cost as we get closer to the show. And they will get 50,000 people into that building. They'll get maybe 60,000 like they had last year into the building. And they will make the most money for a WrestleMania ever. Because as much as we're talking, there's still 2 months till Mania. Still 2 months away.
They're still 2 months away, but there have been Manias past where they have sold them out by now. And times change, circumstances change.
Yeah, when tickets were cheaper, yeah, they were a lot easier to sell a majority of the tickets by now.
But I think this is a message to them. And I think this is a very worrying message for them, that it's, you need to look at your ticket costs. You need to look at your value for money. You need to look at what's really going on, and you need to look at your value for money. And you need to determine what you need to do to correct that. Because I have to wonder too, and we've talked about this before as well, is if it isn't political challenges as well, in terms of what the state of the nation is right now. People are not willing to necessarily travel here for this kind of stuff. Like, we're seeing it with the FIFA stuff, that people are trying to offload their tickets because they don't want to come here. They don't want to watch the games here. Same thing for WWE. People may not want to come here. They may not want to watch WrestleMania. Could be because it's in Vegas again, and they already did Vegas, but it's also, could be they just don't want to come here.
Yeah, Vegas was not the right call, 100%. In terms of the fan, from the company standpoint, they went, he made $6 million for WrestleMania, whatever the amount was. They made a lot of money.
But just because lightning struck once, it doesn't mean it's going to happen again.
No.
And it's, you already had it announced for New Orleans, and you should have just left it in New Orleans. I don't know if it would have done any better, but like, it's, unless, like, for, like, if they take a bath on this, okay, let's just throw it out there. If they take a bath on this, I really have to hope that the money they got for moving this show to Vegas, because we all know that's what happened, right? Like, it was announced for New Orleans. They were good to go. There's a logo. They were going to do a whole thing. And then Las Vegas swung in.
They had Dwayne announce it.
And then Las Vegas swung in. And they were like, hey, that was fun. Let's do it again. Here's a shit ton of money. Let's talk.
So I was incorrect with numbers. It was $66 million in ticket sales last year. $66 million.
It's a large number. Yeah, it's a huge money. It's WrestleMania is one of their main money makers. That's just ticket sales. That's not the merch sales. That's not everything else that they made from that weekend. That's just ticket sales. Like, that's, I think WrestleMania generates, I think, close to like $100 million for the company every year. That's one of their bread and butter items, like, right there. And if WrestleMania does bad, that's a problem for them. Vegas rolled up and was like, here's your money, we want your show, and that wasn't the right call.
To put it in perspective, 40 WrestleMania 40 here, 19 or it was 18.8 million in tickets.
I don't remember what it was here.
I don't have that number because it's been too long for it. It was 18 million the first night, 19 million the second night for here. Correct it. So that's what? 36, what, 38 million for here. So they doubled it a year later. They look at it and go, we could run it back. And they're probably going to still probably draw the same amount of money with less tickets. And that's where the state of it is. But anyway, we got to get back one more point.
No, just this one thing. And if they do that, that's great for them. But they also maybe need to, like, look, just seriously look at that. Because there's a tipping point happening right now.
Yeah.
In that. And they need to recognize that, because at some point people are going to stop buying and they're going to stop paying those ticket prices, because they're going to direct those funds elsewhere. And that's the point where it's, oh crap, we have to slash our ticket prices, we have to do this, we have to do that, to save our bacon. And I'm sure they have people watching that and paying attention to what's going on, and they're likely having those discussions, especially around WrestleMania. But there is a tipping point happening right now with the show in general, regarding ticket prices. But going back to Elimination Chamber, many discussion here on the show about ticket prices. Not saying it'll be super noticeable, but empty seats are empty seats. Yeah, here's the thing. Even when shows are sellouts, there's always empty seats because some people just don't go to the show. It's the question of how many empty seats there are because they're doing an arena, right? Like they're playing in a large building. And we've seen what that looks like when only a small number of the seats are sold and it looks awful. And so I'm sure they will do everything in their power to make the building look full.
And again, they will by showtime, the building will look full.
Yeah. Like even if they have to like move people down and close off the upper decks or whatever, they'll do it. But
you give tickets to the casinos to give away and all the they will fill the building even if they have to eat some of the cost by the end, and it won't cost them a dime because you'll do cheap tickets day of, week of, at the building. You go there, get cheaper tickets.
Yeah, they'll hand them off to the ticket aggregators in Vegas, and the ticket aggregators will take care of it, right? Like anything they have left, they will get rid of it, and they will make sure the building is full. Will they make their full money on it? Probably not, but I would love to see the numbers in terms of what the balance is for producing the show versus the tickets, and where their profit margin is on the tickets. Because obviously they're marked up by a good amount. So it's how low can you actually go on those before you start cutting into your production costs? And we don't know that number. So it could be that they could give tickets away and they don't even lose money on it.
They're right now. Oh. Where they're at, they're fine. They're not. You've sold 37,000 tickets per night. Your production costs. It's everything's profit. Just it all depends how much profit you want to make. Anyway. Because we got one more match to go. Who you got?
I'm going Alexa.
I am going Alexa. What does the 8-ball say?
8-ball? Alexa? Nope.
I'm going to spin a wheel.
Wait.
You're going to have to tell me who.
Okay.
3.
Wrestler 3! Alexa. Okay. 8-ball. Rhea? It is decidedly so.
All right.
In our final. Go ahead. Sorry.
Let's get to the final match. Because this one is the one that needs to... have a winner. We're not.
So in your final match for Elimination Chamber, you have the men's vying for the SmackDown Championship. You have Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Jey Uso all Yeet. Challenging.
Yeet Man's not winning. He was not supposed to be in it. Yeah. Bronson was.
Oops.
Here we are. All right. Javon Evans not winning. He's going to do something flashy because he's bouncy, bouncy, and you go from there. So, a report coming out on the internet today that WWE creative is very high on Jacob Fatu, and there's a lot of creative pushes to put him in the title picture heading into WrestleMania. Man, if you really wanted Jacob Fatu in the title match at WrestleMania,
he would be in it.
He would be in the Elimination Chamber because then you could just have Jacob win it. And fight true and give everyone a reason to just not worry about the outcome of this match. But also, we all fucking know that they are very high on Jacob Fatu and want him in the title picture heading into WrestleMania. Because just watch the television for the last 2 months. It's not new. Anyway. This match. So very convoluted. Because everyone and their mother believes this is not going to be a singles match at WrestleMania. It's been talked about. LeMans has come in our chat for weeks now saying it's a triple threat. Because the internet's been saying it's a triple threat. It's a four-way, it's a five-way, it's a six-way at WrestleMania. Could they do some sort of gauntlet match heading into WrestleMania where it's a gauntlet match at WrestleMania? And the champion has to survive a gauntlet, or it's random draw, and it's a six-man gauntlet match at WrestleMania. That would eat up a lot of time. Or a six-way match. That would be a lot. But you have a lot of top challengers who are in and not in this match. Not in Arch, Sami Zayn, and Jacob Fatu. You have a lot of top challengers. Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, in this match. So how do you get to a three-way? How do you get to a four-way? When they've gone on record saying the winner of this match goes on fight for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Because doing something else where the winner is now in a three-way, a four-way, a five-way, a six-way at WrestleMania kind of devalues what this match is, because this is a six-man match already, and it's a match where there are no disqualifications, and usually there must be a winner. Boy, how do you get there? Especially in Chicago, where this crowd may or may not be pro Cody Rhodes. Because Cody versus Drew at WrestleMania doesn't excite me as it should, because we've seen it at WrestlePalooza and at four other events on SmackDown, at Saturday Night. We've seen it everywhere. So running it back after they had the end-all feud match, three stages of hell, where Drew won the championship, and that should just settle the feud. How do you get there and make it interesting? I suggested Hell in a Cell if it's one-on-one. I don't know how you get to a three-way, a four-way, a five-way, a six-way, Lindsay. I don't know. I don't know how you do it to make and have it make sense.
They could come up with some level of fuckery. Like, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but do you? Is it?
But
needed?
It doesn't do anything for me. Like, it doesn't do a thing for me for it. Depending on who wins, right? Because, like, okay, let's talk about it. Randy Orton versus Drew would be a great match. It would be entertaining. Like, Randy's out here living his best life as a babyface. It would sell tickets. It would be a fine main event. Both of the, like, Randy Orton is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires. So, like, he's the legend killer. He's held all these titles. Like, he is perfectly qualified to do this match. It would be fine. It would be serviceable. Is it the most exciting thing in the world that I've ever heard of or seen? No. But it would work.
Because then you split Cody and Jacob off in a singles match. You've solved every problem there. But continue on your scenario. But that would solve two problems right there.
Yes. LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre. The promos would be epic. The promos would be amazing. It would sell the match. Like, they could absolutely knock it out of the park on the promos. Match would be fine. It would be serviceable. Do I think it's the most exciting main event, especially where LA Knight is right now? No. I think they could do more to build him up into a bigger name than he already is and really, really, really solidify that he is on Drew's level, because we all know he is, but they just have not put him in that same place yet. And honestly, beating Drew would do that. Absolutely. But I think putting anybody else in the match with LA Knight takes that moment away from him, right? And that's not what you want for someone that's going to potentially win their first title at WrestleMania. It's going to kind of dilute it a little bit, especially when you have bigger names in there. Like, if you do LA Knight and Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre for the SmackDown Championship at WrestleMania, and LA Knight wins, everybody's going to be like, WTF. If you do, like, Jacob Fatu and LA Knight and Drew McIntyre, that's a little bit better. But still, everybody's going to kind of be like, WTF. Like, there's no good winner there. Because people are going to want Drew to win. People are going to want Jacob to win. People are going to want Cody to win. People are going to want LA Knight to win. And I think out of those four grouping, like, four names, LA Knight's kind of at the bottom. Could be wrong. But that's just kind of how I feel about it. Cody Rhodes.
Also, can I add one thing to the Logan Paul thing? Or not Logan Paul, his LA Knight thing?
Yeah.
His vision is very cursed at the moment, so don't think it's him. Anyway, continue.
Cody Rhodes. He is the poster boy for WWE. He is the face of the company. He is the QB1. He is all the things. Does he need to be in the title match? No. I'm actually against Cody winning this match. I think Cody is kind of at this point in the company, in the industry, on the whole, where he is approaching the same level that John Cena was on, which is the title is a nice to have. It's not a need to have for him. He doesn't need a shiny title to go out there and be Cody Rhodes and be beloved and be cheered and or booed or whatever. He doesn't need it. He can just go out there and be himself, and the people will react accordingly to him, depending on whether he's a heel or a face. Also, I don't want to see Cody fight for the title at Mania. I just don't want to. We've seen it multiple times now. Sorry. And it doesn't do anything for me, especially in this scenario. Like, there's no epic grand tale here, because they've already told it. They've already burned it. Now, you could throw somebody else in there. You could do the three-way. And you could potentially put somebody else over Cody. But then that sort of, like, again, feels cheap. Like, if the point was, say, for a Jacob Fatu to be in the match and to go on and defeat Drew McIntyre and win his first title, then why didn't you just put him in the elimination chamber? Why didn't you just have him win? You know, why go through the convoluted bullshit of throwing him in the match after the fact? Like, it just feels a little stupid. But for, like, Cody to me is kind of like Rhea. He's hitting that saturation level. They've put all these decorations and titles and honors and everything else on him, which is really great. He's earned them. But at the same time, it's like, he doesn't need this. You could give this to multiple other people in this match and they could take it and they could run with it if you really wanted to use it to make someone. But I don't know if they do. Javon Evans, he has a very bright future in WWE, but this is not it.
He's 21 years old. This is not his moment.
He's been there for like a candy bar out of the vending machine. He's not even hit the cup of coffee yet. So I don't think he's winning. They could surprise us, but I don't think he's winning. So I'm going to go ahead and say he's out. Trick Williams has been on a rise. They could do a really surprising move and have him pick up the victory and go on to WrestleMania. I think in having his first debut match, especially going against somebody like Drew, that would be actually a pretty decent night one main event, because you could really tell a story between Trick and Drew if you wanted to, where it's terms of the newer guy versus the veteran, the grizzled, jaded veteran, if you will. And out of everybody in this grouping, I think making the three-way is probably the worst for him, because it's kind of, again, along the same lines as LA Knight, right? You really want to make a guy. You really want to do it. Sticking me in a multi-man is not the way to go, especially at WrestleMania. Like, give him the one-on-one, give him the boyhood dream moment. That's what everybody's paying to see, right? That is the reality. That is what we come to see at WrestleMania. We want to see modern fairy tales happen for the good and the bad. That's what we're watching. It is the culmination of a year's worth of storylines and soap opera drama and everything else that we're coming to watch and see concluded and see new stories start. So for Trick to sort of get thrown in a three or a four way and that, you know, he had to fight for essentially, and then two people just roll up and they're like, hey, I want to be in the match. And Nick Aldis is like, yeah, sure, let's go. That feels stupid. So I would just rather see Trick versus Drew if they're going to have him win it. And finally, Mr. Uso. They gave him the win at Mania last year. It was a great moment for him. He's done a wonderful job of building him up, but they legitimately paid that off last year. If he had to carry the title, I think he could. But Jay beating Drew, especially when there really isn't any story there, doesn't work. And I think that is the main problem with every single person is in this match, is there isn't a ton of story there. There isn't anything that you can really sink your teeth into for Drew and go, yeah, this is going to work. The best option is kind of Cody, which I hate.
Randy's already
told the story.
Randy's the best option. From a story standpoint, Randy going for 15 or 14, whatever it is. I think it's 15 would be the story against Drew. That is the most interesting story. You beat the dead horse with Cody. And Drew. Doesn't mean they're not going to beat that drum for another six more weeks. But you've been that one so much. LaVance, you mentioned something in chat, and I've been thinking about this all day. Drew costs Cody, and that's where Cody has the, he just screwed me out of the chamber, brother. I want in on a three-way. It's the only way you can get to a three-way. But that doesn't get you to a three-way with the people you want in the three-way. It's so hard to get to... Cody Drew is not as fun. Unless they go to the cell, there's nothing they can do in a normal match. It's going to be fun that they haven't already done. Randy and Drew is a serviceable main event. Getting to the three-way of Jacob, Cody, and Drew, there's no lot. Yes, Jacob was attacked, and there's still no logical way to get him into the title match if this match has a winner. That's your biggest problem. Aldous already said he would give Fatu a shot at Drew as well, which is how he could get into the match. But it's saying you're going to give somebody a shot and then having a match for the shot doesn't just devalues this match. Simplest move they could have made. Put the SmackDown 6 in this chamber mat. Put it for that title. And then you figure out a way to get to Mania that way. This chamber shouldn't have been for a contendership. should have been for the WWE title, all the people they want in the picture. Because then you could have set up singles matches or logically had a triple threat match coming out of the chamber, because you would have had to find a contender on the road. But you book yourself into a corner when you call this a number one contender's chamber match, and when you're trying to be overly convoluted creatively to get as many over talents into the title match, because you know Cody and Drew is not the match, because they ran it back too many times this fall with Cody winning until Drew finally got the win, which logically from a story standpoint ends the story. Because this then would give Cody months of fighting and climbing. Fighting and climbing turned to 6 weeks of a rumble in a chamber with no climbing. I fully supported Drew winning the title from Cody, because you could do more with Drew as the champion coming out of it and using Cody's star power to get another match on the show. Instead, you want Cody and Drew in the title match with multiple other. Logically, you can't get there. And as for a fan, want this match to be meaningful. Because if I know they want to go elsewhere, they know they want to go elsewhere, why do I want to turn on ESPN Unlimited on Saturday and watch this match? That's their problem. Cody's not selling the story, because he stole. We've seen the story. And it's not like the feud with Drew in all the matches went back and forth. If the matches went back and forth, hell yeah, sign me up for the finale, right? They split them 2-for-2 this summer, switch the title back and forth multiple times between both guys, right? Sign me up for the finale at WrestleMania. They didn't do that, because as many times for when we got to Rock and Austin at WrestleMania in 99, we had seen that match a dozen times in 18 months. Tag matches, singles matches, whatever. They feuded over the Intercontinental title. But you wanted to see them fight because they were. It was not always Austin wins. Would Austin always stun? Yes. But Austin always didn't win. Rock would win. Austin would win. So it was two heated rivals battling each other, because you wouldn't know who would win, because either one could win. Drew and Cody? Cody had Drew's number all fall until Jake Fatu got involved in January. Why you want to go to the triple threat? Just wanted the triple threat, book the triple threat, and do something different for this chamber match. But you didn't. Now we're here. Now you got to get a crowd to get behind Cody winning. And it could be 50-50. They want to see it. The most interesting was the best story would be Randy and Drew. The most intriguing winner would be Trick Williams. They ain't doing that. Him and his Lebman Pepper Steppas not hitting the main event of WrestleMania. Be cool, just because it'd be different. And I'm not the biggest Trick Williams fan, because I don't think he's over, but he will be. I hope he keeps improving. Because character-wise, he has it. In-ring, he's still, which is why a four-way would work if he was in it, because he wouldn't have to carry the match. I don't want to pick Cody. I made it a point to say, if this match has a winner, boy, it would be interesting. The only way to make this interesting, and boy, wait, the only way to make whatever they want happen, is by having chaos and destruction in this chamber where there's no winner, and your champion stands tall. Have it the final two of Randy and Cody. Have Drew get involved. Have Jacob show up, and then just chaos erupts. But at the end, Drew McIntyre standing tall. All the men are knocked out cold, and the match has to be thrown out. And you're left with controversy heading into SmackDown. That's the only way to get it to it where it would be shocking. Where there's no first time ever, there's no winner of the chamber. And the future of the WrestleMania match for the WWE title is up in the air. Because now you've had your champion, who's interfered in every single match he's involving his top contender, gets involved and just says, screw it, I don't want any of them, and makes it a big deal to where he costs Cody, he costs Randy. You have Jacob get involved to try to balance everything out and cause more chaos, and you set up a four-way of Randy and Cody and Jacob and Drew for the title. There's your top four in the match. Do I want to see it? No, but guess what? There's your logical way of something. It's a good something, I don't know. But it would be interesting if there was no winner to tell the story you want. That said, Cody's winning.
They could do the no winner. I don't know if people would be okay if there's no winner. And that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's
the biggest part of the problem. It's the biggest part of the problem because, going back to the discussion, I'm paying $200 to get no winner at the chamber. No. Like, you can't. You have to have a winner. But if you didn't, at least it would create the opening. I don't know. It's the best I got.
God, there is no good pick. I'm going to go Randy, even though I feel like he's not going to win. Odds are it's going to be Randy or it's going to be Cody, unless the only logical thing I can see is if you guys were talking about it happening to Kiana James, but they could do it to Javon Evans as well, where
or Jay. You would do it to Jay because he wasn't the one supposed to be in the match. You could take out Jay.
Yeah, you take somebody out of the match and you put the person that is actually meant to go against Drew in the match, and that's how you do it. That's kind of how you correct. I can see them doing that. There's plenty of precedent for it. I hate the fact that there would be no winner. I really hate that. Like,
yeah,
that to me, it kind of ruins the whole purpose of the chamber.
But if you book a three-way or a four-way out of this, it defeats the purpose of the chamber too.
Oh, I'm not arguing that at all. I am 100% on board with that. Completely, because I think I said it when we were going through the people. It's kind of a bitch move to have somebody roll up that wasn't in the chamber and be like, hey, Mr. Aldis, I would like a match, please. And Nick Aldis is like, oh, you didn't do shit to earn this? Sure, let's go ahead. Let's do this. Let's go off and make it the best WrestleMania ever. And meanwhile, whoever wins the match is like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Like, the only way I could see it is if it's like you have, say, Randy, hypothetically. Okay, let's just throw this out there because I'm going to use easy names because it's late. So hypothetically, let's say Randy wins. Okay, Randy versus Drew. Great. Awesome. Cody rolls up. Cody's like, I should be in that match, right? I should be in that match. I have history with Drew, and more importantly, I have history with Randy, and I'm going to fantasy book because I want the Cody versus Randy feud before Randy retires. But Cody's like, I want into this. And Randy's like, fuck off. This is mine. And Cody's like, really? It's yours. All right, let's fight about it. If I beat you, I get to come into the match. And Randy's like, all right, bet. Maybe he thinks about it. Maybe Cody's got to chase him a little bit. I don't. But you take Drew out of that situation for right now. I can also do one where he's in it, but for right now, we're going to take Drew out because, again, it's late. Cody beats Randy. You can have Drew get involved, or Cody beats Randy clean, which strengthens his claim to being in the match.
I think the way you do
but
that
it's
is
a better story.
I think the way you do that, then you have Drew interfere, then it creates the match.
Yeah, that's where I was going next. Is the stronger thing is Drew interferes. And he ends up costing Randy. And then that gives Drew and Randy heat. That gives them a reason to fight. Cody's involved because Cody almost lost the match to Drew. There's history there. There's history with Randy. There's enough there that you can tell a story. And it's great. And that's kind of how you get to it. So you do make whoever that person is earn it a little bit. Is it the best solution? No. Do I like it? Not really. But that's how you kind of get there. But, like, I would just really prefer them to have a winner and you just take somebody out of the match. If for nothing else, it is literally the most straightforward way to do it. Because the one thing I hate is when WWE, in their writing, when they have a very direct path to get somewhere and they take the left turn at Albuquerque and they go this long, convoluted route to get to the same conclusion that they could have gone to if they'd just gone straight.
I don't mind the left turn. I don't mind the left turns if they continue to go with the straight story. But they don't want to go straight story. That's the problem.
No. And that's where I have an issue with that. And so, to me, the most direct line to get to where they want to go while having a left turn for excitement is to just take somebody out of the match. No. Just do it. It could be Jay, and you put whoever's meant to win in.
The meant to win is in. It's Cody. That's the problem.
I don't want Cody. I don't
understand. I understand that, but that's the meant. Cody's the Cody. for your storytelling and logic, you just said, your straight to the narrow path down the highway is Cody Rhodes. They took the turnpike exit and took the right and went out and got some steaks and some sandwiches along the way and then got back on the turnpike and they're driving down the highway again. But, you know, that's the path. It's not the one you want to spend your vacation money on, as we've seen, because the tickets aren't moving to tie it all together. Nope. But that's what we've booked our vacation for. That's our road. That's our destination. That's where we're headed. That's how we're heading to the Vegas. Cody and Drew. But they want to take all the detours along the way, and that the detours are great. But the destination trip is not what people want. They want to go to Disney World, not Vegas. But we're going to Vegas again. That's where we're at. Anyway, it's late. I'm going Cody because they don't. Saying Randy wins and then because Drew, I could say Randy wins, Drew interferes, costs Cody. Cody gets an argument with Nick Aldis on SmackDown, wants his title match. Jacob Fatu goes, I want my title match too. And then Nick Aldis hands his force and makes a four-way. Yes. Sure. Do that. Screw it. Do that. Randy. That's my pick. I talked myself into it. Brent Randy. Okay.
Eight ball.
Like logic says, Cody, and that's what they're going to do, and that's what's going to happen. Do if you want the mess, Randy.
All right. Eight ball. Randy, I look good.
Who's number one?
Number one is Randy. So congratulations to Cody Rhodes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I think that does it. I think we're done. Four matches. 0-4 incoming, probably.
Saturday night chat. Unless something stupid happens in Chamber, CB Radio is live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And even if something stupid happens in Chamber, we'll talk about it there. Sunday night, they'll review Chamber on Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we'll be live to talk about it. And we'll be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all about the Elimination Chamber. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Nope, it's Twitch Prime. Nope, it's Prime. Just click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Lin's in Ward.
When you buy Disney, we're now Honkai Sarel, 17,000 other collaborations in the Fortnite item shop, including Resident Evil. If you buy the video game, you get something free in Fortnite. If you buy something in the Honkai Sarel, you get something free in Fortnite. Or just buy their skins directly in Fortnite. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinsWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok at LinsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you, presumably, next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.